Aloha and welcome to The Experience. I am your host, Jeremy Vaney, and this is going to be a solo episode where I answer some of your questions, some listener feedback, but first, I want to talk about some of my own experiences. They're small, but they've been on an uptick, I think since the last roundtable with my neighbors, their friends, and my wife. And I did tell you that I would talk about them in the last episode, and then I didn't have a chance to do that, so, which is good, actually, because they seem to be ongoing, and that's kind of how I want to frame this. The question of when there's a resurgence of high strangeness in an experiencer's life, what is the cause of that, and how does it unfold? So first, let's take a look at what I'm actually referring to here. Actually, you know what? Let's wait for non-subscribers until after the break.
The new unknowncountry.com is on the way. There'll be exciting new graphics, much easier navigation, the ability to subscribe either with your credit card or using PayPal, the return of our free message board and subscriber chat room, and so much more. The new site will be intuitive and easy to use, but it will also be demonstrated and explained on Whitley's YouTube channel. As to when, well, we're hopefully just weeks away.
You know, The Afterlife Revolution is a funny book. It makes people happy, even though it's about the afterlife and thinking about crossing over. It made me happy to write it. And the reason it did was that I was actually in touch with Anne while I was writing it. And not only that, she proved it. She proved it clearly and completely. When you read the book, you'll see what I mean. You'll see why Dr. Gary Schwartz, who is one of the leading experts on the afterlife, considers it such an important book, why he wrote a foreword for it. Because this is about something real and incredible that we are told every day not to believe that we have souls and that we have an afterlife. Well, we do. We do. And The Afterlife Revolution is going to open the door for you, so you're not going to be thinking to yourself, maybe I don't, when you do. And that's why it's a book of joy. Go on Amazon, take a look at the great reviews, and get yourself a copy. It's available for your Kindle, it's available in paperback, and there's an audiobook read by me. And let me tell you something. You can hear something in my voice. People tell me that, and I think it's true. You know what it is? It's the inner joy that is part of me and has become part of me since this extraordinary thing happened. I have to say, Ann Strieber was a remarkable person in this life, and she still is. Get it today.
Whitley Strieber's nonfiction is magical, powerful, and thought-provoking. From Communion to The Afterlife Revolution, there is no body of work like it in the world. Nothing even approaches it. And not only that, his wonderful fiction, from The Wolfen to his latest novel, New, offers reading and listening entertainment that you will never forget. And where do you find all this in one place? At Strieber.com. That's where. Every Whitley Strieber book available for sale is there. So don't wait. Go to Strieber.com and start exploring. There's only one Whitley and only one place to find all his work. Strieber.com.
So, okay, that roundtable chat with friends new and newer, it brought me to a place of contemplating shamanism and all of the accoutrements, you know, DMT, mushrooms, that sort of thing. And I felt like it was sort of, I don't know if a deep episode is correct in the philosophical way, but certainly it hit a lot of emotional tones for people. I mean, there was crying in the room, right? So doing that live, it probably brought me to a place that was more, I don't know, internally connected than the average interview, if that makes sense. In other words, there's more going on in me. I'm not just analyzing something. I'm not just having fun. I'm doing all that, but there's also this emotional component that others are bringing to the table, but that it, you know, sort of gets into you, right? And so maybe all of that goes into cutting to later that night as I'm drifting off to sleep, or as I'm about to drift off to sleep. I have these images of people's faces flickering to life in my mind. And I know that there is something about, like, the sort of the light patterns behind your eyes at night can sort of form facial images and things like this, random things. But this isn't that. This was very specific. But even that, the random faces thing that people do and the not so random things, I never had that up until the spiritual unfolding, or kundalini unfolding, whatever it is you want to call it, that I've talked about elsewhere and written about ad nauseum, where I started seeing that. That's when I started seeing images of people flickering in my mind. And it often starts off weak, and then it becomes sort of very strong and almost lucid, if that makes sense. Sort of the difference between a dream and a lucid dream. It's the difference between sort of a, I don't know, lazy bunch of visioning happening behind your eyelids and something that maybe has purpose. I don't know. But the important takeaway here is that none of that, either the normal average stuff or the deeper stuff, I have no memory of ever having that happen until the Kundalini thing. And then ever since then, it's something that happens now and then. Happened a lot early on with that unfolding, and then sort of tapered off, not into nothingness, but into almost until recently. And well, until that night, when what flickered were not superfluous images of faces, but very specifically the faces of people from the Amazon. The bowl cut, the you know, all the features, the physicality of tribes people from the Amazon. It was very obvious who they were, and they're just staring at me one at a time, one after the other. And I'm staring at them. There's no sound. There's no movement on my part. They may be blinking or whatever, but basically nothing beyond that. And then at the end, there were one or two faces of some other tribal looking people. And I say that because of the paint that they had on their face, but they had long hair, almost done up in a bun kind of thing. Men, they had earrings, gouges. They had curly locks coming down the sides. And like I say, like a drastic sort of face paint lines coming down the cheeks kind of thing. And their faces were longer. The Amazonian faces were sort of rounder, and maybe because of the bowl cut, maybe that sort of does it. I don't even know if they have a bowl cut, but you know what I mean? Like, they've got the flattened bangs, but these other guys were wearing like jewelry and stuff. So I don't know. So I don't know what that is, but I thought, okay, that's interesting. Haven't had something that specific in a while. And then the next day, or maybe 2 days later, I can't remember. Tempted to say 2 days, 2 days later, but I'm not sure. I'm in the bathroom in the guest room because I'm kind to my wife. So take that to mean what you know it means. She's in the bedroom. She's in bed going to sleep. And I'm going to stay up, and I hear her voice muffled through the door, as the voice would be if you were in the next room, sort of, you know, muffled by door and strongly but semi-faintly saying, "Honey?" And I yell out, "Yeah," and there's nothing. And then I think, huh, that's odd. And I actually thought at that moment, I bet that wasn't her. I bet she didn't say anything because she's in bed. And when I was done doing my business, I sure enough went into the bedroom and asked her if she'd called me. And she said, no, she's lying in bed and half asleep almost. So I thought, okay, that's odd. And then I did the interview with Crystal, right? The unicorn story that people on YouTube are just irate about. How dare you? How dare you put unicorns you will believe in the title and then not have the non-subscriber version contain unicorns when clearly in the first 5 minutes of the episode, I actually already said you wouldn't be hearing unicorns. But okay, it's my fault. I'm a bad clickbaiter. Talk to Crystal, and something about her stories, I think when I was editing her episode and listening to them again, I should say, something about her stories, and plus those two experiences, plus talking to, I think my friend Willie, who we've had on the show, talking about certain aspects of Hawaiian culture prior to the Tahitians arriving here, even. So thousands of years, we're talking. That's his family history. He goes back thousands of years. And having a really lengthy all-day talk with him. I mean, we ended up hanging out from, like, I don't know, 8 in the morning to 2. And so I think all of these things culminated in, while I was editing Crystal's episode and listening to her talk about what sounds like interdimensionality, right? It sounds like interdimensional experiences with beings of some sort who are sort of showing her things they might think she likes or expectations or something. I had just this flood of epiphanies. It just clicked with me. Flood of epiphanies about what's missing from the dialogue about dimensions and interdimensionality, which I'm not going to go into now because it actually got me thinking about the sequel that never happened. I wrote a book called I Know Why the Aliens Don't Land. I wrote a sequel called The Skeleton Key to All Worlds. But I took that material, the good stuff from that, and made it the book Urgency. And part of the reason I was fine with doing that, I mean, the main reason is my heart wasn't into all of the humor and all of the mean stuff, all the mean-spirited humor that I had when I wrote I Know Why the Aliens Don't Land wasn't me anymore. But it's a sequel, so I felt like I still have to keep the spirit of things. And then I showed it to a friend, and she said, we don't have time for this crap. just get to the good stuff already. So, okay, I had no problem gutting it in giving you urgency. For a low price. When I say give, let's be clear, YouTube, I don't mean give. So, as I laugh at my own gluttony.
We'll be back after this. Aloha, Jeremy Vaney here, and I want to tell you about my latest undertaking, OurUndoing.com. OurUndoing.com is a multimedia website where if you watch, if you read, if you listen, without trying to absorb knowledge like we do with normal learning, and without the normal judgmental filters that we use to compare and contrast so-called spiritual knowledge, if we watch, if we read, if we listen, without all of that, we may just wake up to our full human nature. That is what this website is for. It's not about what we're doing, it's about who we are, truly are, when we're off the pendulum of duality. If your life is about seeking truth above all else, look no further. Join me at OurUndoing.com.
Whitley Strieber has published an incredible 2-volume historical novel called In Hitler's House under his open pseudonym Jonathan Lane. This amazing story follows the life of William Weber, who meets Hitler while touring Germany in 1931 and becomes his friend and confidant. But then, when he realizes the truth, becomes a spy in Hitler's house for the Allies. Living a life of terrible danger, he falls in love with another of Hitler's secret friends, also a spy in his house. This is a story of espionage and desperate love, and the deepest portrait of Adolf Hitler ever created. Don't miss In Hitler's House, available in paperback and as an ebook on Amazon.
Welcome back.
The other reason that I haven't talked about that I didn't mind shelving the sequel is that the name didn't really make sense to me, but I wanted to keep it. For some reason, I really wanted to use the verbose Skeleton Key to All Worlds title. And, you know, it would have to do with Kundalini and Kundalini rising from the spine and all of that, except that that doesn't really bring you to All Worlds. I mean, it brings you to, well, it almost brings you to the I Am experience. Something else has to take place for that. But the I Am experience is the experience of seeing and being the universe in all of its, if you want to call them, component parts. So in that sense, you are seeing these worlds and you are them. But in terms of having it be about, like, being you now as you are getting there, you know, as someone who can access these worlds, that was never my experience. And if it was, I think I would probably be hesitant to put that out there. So the title never really made sense in the way that I needed it to. And, but now with these new sort of, I don't know, insights, I feel like, oh yeah, no, this is for the sequel. This needs to be for the Skeleton Key to All Worlds. So I think I'm going to write that up. And I think maybe, at least partly, all of these insights, this whole rigmarole, these events happening all in the same week, are so that I do. And it may be for no one else other than me. Again, gluttony, right? But in a different sense, it may be that it's for my own transformation. I don't know that. I won't know that. But I look back on what happened with the I Am stuff, right? With the Kundalini awakening and all of that fun stuff. And I look at how that unfolded. And technically, there was a life of high strangeness first. Then there was a breaking down of self through positive negation. And then there was a flood of insights, wisdom. And that wisdom gave way to experience and to the oneness-y thing. Of course, I can't get there again through that same process or whatever, because now I have the expectation and the expectation gets in the way. So there's no way that it could ever work twice, if that's even in the cards at all. But I look at this and I can't help but wonder if it is in fact going to lead somewhere. Like, these insights feel important enough that they could be just like the insights I had in a different way, but the same quality of insights that I had that were rational prior to the I Am awakening. And so do these insights go somewhere for me? And maybe for readers or other people, I don't know. And then another question is, if you're self-aware of all this, can it happen? Or are you too self-aware of the entire process for it to have any effect? Because I think part of what happens is the creating an intention, if you want to call it that, through obsession. I mean, in our culture, at least, it's through obsession, because we don't have anything in our culture that teaches us how to utilize these sort of psychic tools, right? So we turn to the New Age, and we hope that these things work to get us the shallow things that we want. But is there a deeper thing here where, like, if you have an intention and you hold it so deeply and so thoroughly that the only word we have for that is obsession, and then you let it go, honestly let it go, not because you want anything in return, but if you just abandon it, then does it branch out into the ether, into the universe or whatever, and bring you back some form of that thing? Or does it bring you down a path of synchronicities leading to whatever it is that you had your heart set on? I think, yeah. But I think also there's another component to this, which is it's not just that you're obsessing over it but you're in a feedback loop with it. So, you know, I have a deep ponderance about something that I am then experiencing versions of through psychic or high strangeness phenomena in my life. And it becomes this snowball effect of the intellectualization plus the experience. It's this whirlwind of dizzying things, you know. Then you're looking to make a pattern out of it. You're looking to see signs. Is this a synchronicity? Is it leading to something? You're looking for that. But then maybe the giving up part was that this same week, I actually was thinking about the Skeleton Key to All Worlds book and thinking for the first time, really okay with letting it go. Like, I've always had it, you know, I started rewriting it and redoing it. But for the first time, I told myself, I'm done. I don't need this. It's not working. It's no good the way it is. And so next. And the second I let that go, then I have this flood of insights while I'm editing this show. But the show isn't superfluous. The show is about interdimensional stuff. And I've been having these psychic sort of interrelated things happening. So it all is an amalgamation of stuff, right? That leads to this resurgence of a transformation of sorts. Because, you know, again, if it's possible to step outside of this and actually view it as it is, then based on my own personal history, then that means I'm going to start writing this book and more things are going to start unfolding. I'm going to start having more confirmational experiences showing me what is possible or correct, let's say, what is out there to be experienced, and by exclusion, what isn't. And with that, what I'm right and wrong about. So it's as if I start writing a book, and then the book starts writing reality around me to show me what needs to go in the book and what needs to be edited out. So this gets me to, if you're following all of this, and I apologize, it's as convoluted as it is, right? But the question is, this resurgence of high strangeness and other experiencers, please chime in on this. Does it go interest in something, you know, deep interest, which then becomes involvement through internal psychic stuff, however you want to coin that, which somewhere in there has to involve a letting go, either a letting go of caring about that, or in my case, caring about what this ultimately, unbeknownst to me at that point, was about, which was the Skeleton Key to All Worlds book. But some letting go of something in the midst of all this, does that spill it out into the room? Is that when it has the opportunity to not just be, quote-unquote, in your head or in your mind's eye, but is that when the high strangeness stuff comes out into the greater reality, into the physicality around you? And maybe there are witnesses and all of that. So I actually told my wife, Carol, you know, don't be surprised if something big happens soon, like I change, or strange things happen around us, you know, things like this. But I would love to know if this is making any sense, if it resonates with other experiencers. Is this how it unfolds for you when it resurges in your lives? Let me know in the subscriber section or on the YouTube feed. And then last night I had, as I was waking up this morning, just one more, again, it's minor, but a twist experience. I've talked about having the experience of like shutting your eyes and then all of a sudden there's just bright light as if from, as if someone is shining a flashlight in your head. And it's so bright that I'll open my eyes because I think a light has gone on or there's something outside or something and nothing's there. It's just dark. And then it's gone. It's not like I shut my eyes and there's the light again. It's just gone. And, but it's always a bright white light. Well, this morning or last night, whatever it was, I had this happen, but it wasn't a bright white light. It was almost like a sunrise or a sunset in my head. It was that color, that sort of orangey pink color. And it looked as though there was a horizon line and it was just bright like that. I mean, really bright. And it had that shape, but it also filled up, felt like it filled up my skull with this light. And of course, you know, I opened my eyes eventually because it went away. I think it went away before I opened my eyes. Like, I was able to at least realize that, no, this can't be happening. Probably because it had a shape to it, right? So, although I wouldn't say I was looking at a sunrise or sunset necessarily. So there is this vagary about it. It had the sense of that, but it wasn't that. But it was enough of that to know that if I open my eyes, there's not going to be a light on in the room or anything. Of course, with Carol next to me, I'm sure she would have woken up. But anyway, so I saw that. And, you know, maybe the closest other thing I could say was a migraine light. Like when you have a migraine light without the headache. But it wasn't that either, necessarily. So, I mean, maybe it was. Didn't seem like it. It seemed like a broader experience of internal light than that. So, maybe this is the slow creep into something big. Maybe I'm ruining it by saying it out loud. Maybe the saying it out loud creates a wish, and that wish becomes the blockage to the thing that I'm wishing for until such time that I abandon the wish because nothing's happening. And I go, eh, screw it. And then it happens. And as I'm saying these words to you right now, I realize that I was talking to my pal Teokusin Ghost Horse the other day about an experience of the Kogi in the Sierra Nevadas, that he'd gone and visited the Kogi with some people, and there was a guy from the UK, I believe, who really wanted to know how they moved this giant boulder. Apparently there was a massive boulder that was not there one day, there the next day, and gone the next. And he wanted to know how they did it. And he kept bugging them. How are you doing this? How did you do this? Where did it go? How did it get here? And the Mamus, who are their, I don't know, equivalent of mystical kahunas or shaman or, you know, medicine people. These are rough equivalents. These are not all the same thing. But just so you get a flavor for it, that's what the Mamus are. The person he was talking, the Mamu he was talking to, wouldn't answer him. He kept asking over and over again in different times, different ways. And would just be treated to silence. Wouldn't answer him until he finally shut up and stopped asking. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Mamu opened his mouth and started explaining to him. And I'm sure you want me to explain it to you, but I'm not gonna. I'm keeping that to myself. Because again, gluttony, which is the real theme of this episode. No, maybe I'll talk about it at some other point. I just don't know if these are things that I'm allowed to talk about or not. So I'll get clearance on that. But it'd be interesting to talk about, because actually in talking to Willie, I asked him, how did Hawaiians move the giant stones? And he told me. And they're very similar. Very similar to the Kogi. But the point for this story is less satisfying. Actually, that's a better story, isn't it? I just realized what an ass I am. Just a giant tease. I'm sorry. I should advertise this. I should call this the episode about how to move giant rocks with your mind or something. And then it never happens. And then I argue with people on YouTube about, well, I don't know. I just titled it what I thought it should be. So I digress. Here is an example of someone obsessing over something, asking the question in the wrong way, apparently. And once he's done and given up and doesn't care for their selfish reasons, then he gets the explanation. So there we see that the question itself may be important or may be answerable, but the way that you question it, the intention of your question matters. And I don't think it's any coincidence that that is how this Kogi Mamu treated the question and the questioner. In fact, I do think that is the important lesson, not how do you move these giant rocks, because guess what, European guy, you're not going to be able to do it. At least not with that mind. But here's a lesson into mind if you so choose to understand it that way. Now let's get into your listener feedback here and some of your questions. And actually, the first couple have direct answers. So no more gluttony for this guy. I'll just give them to you both in a row. We'll start with this week's episode and work our way backwards and see how many questions we get through. And then once the hour is up, that means I get to save the rest for the next time I want to do a solo show. Anyway, that music means our time is up. My thanks to me on the gluttony episode. No, thank you for listening. And I hope to have the listener roundtable together for next week. If you're a non-subscriber, you didn't catch all of this episode, so by all means, subscribe if that ability exists yet on unknowncountry.com. I'm not sure if Whitley has all the kinks worked out yet. But if he does, subscribe. If not, bide your time. And then subscribe. Either way, as I said, I hope to have the roundtable going, and hope to have that up for next week's show, which will lead to my, I guess, my monthly episodes. I guess I'm going to start going monthly after that. So look forward to that. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Take care.